Hello and welcome to a new English edition of my podcast Helium Talk, das Kunstgespräch. My name is Jörg Heikhaus and my guest today is the artist
Rusudan Khizanishvili.
Helium Talk.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
Yes. The first question to get right into it. How did you get into art?
Well, since I remember myself, so I was 9 years old when I went to the art school. I studied art in general 14 years, 4 years in art school, 4 years in the College of Art, and 6 years in academy, the State Academy of Art. So in the college, I finished the Faculty of Painting, and in the Academy of Art, I finished the Faculty of Cinema and TV Artist. But I never worked in the movies. You know, it's quite difficult, as you said, it's quite difficult, especially for women. And because I already was married, so I had the kids. So the second kid when I was in the academy, and the first was when I was in the College of Art. So I'm a mother and an artist at the same time. So that's it.
it's probably hard to, well, probably not hard, but it's probably difficult to have two kids running around when you're trying to work and build a career.
Exactly. So, and you know that in the one hand it's very difficult, but the second, it helped me to use very well the time which I had. Mm-hmm. So I just very appreciate every second of my life. So I as I remember myself, when my kids were sleeping, I was painting, and when I, et cetera, et cetera. So now they are very big girls, and I have all the time for painting. So that's great.
How old are they now?
24, the older, and the 18, the second, the younger. Cool.
So, yeah, so I think it's probably easier now to work. But any of them planning to become an artist or?
The older, she's finishing the MA of architect.
Okay.
So she will architecture, so she will become the architect. So mm-hmm. herself. The younger, no.
Yeah, well, it's I think it's probably nice to grow up in a household where there's an artist present and works. I don't know, my father was a police officer, so I didn't have that the luxury, but I see it with my kids. I think they both, in a way, appreciate that this job that I'm having, you know, probably because it's close.
I'm sure. It's very important, exactly, for them growing up in this kind of environment. So that's it.
So you said you were studying cinematography. You were, you know, sort of planning to go into film, or you're fascinated by producing films, creating films?
No. I just full-time painting, you know, that's because I had no chance to work there at that time. So, you know, that the time is flying very fast. So I can't, because I have already a few galleries. So I have a lot of exhibitions, and I even can't have some time to teaching. So it takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. So I'm just focused on my paintings. So that's I work every day 8, 9, 10 hours sometimes. So there is no time for doing anything.
But was it difficult? You know, sort of. I mean, how's the art scene in Georgia? Are there many galleries?
No. It's quite small country. You know that we all the time have the economical crisis, especially when the USSR was crushed. So since that, we had very difficult times, especially in 90s until the 2000s. Mm-hmm. We have some very interesting galleries, and one of the galleries I work with, the Window Project, where is right now my solo show. So, but you know that it's a very small country, and people, they are struggling, you know, for the slice of bread. So it's yes, of course, we have the rich people, and they are buying art of. Sure, but you know that Georgian people, they are quite artistic, and Bohemian. So we have a lot of artists, especially the young generation is very interesting, which is coming with very Western direction. It's very interesting to see them. I got very hard in classical education in the Academy of Art, but there is, you know, I feel myself very between this generation, the older who still work in the Soviet Union's direction and style, so it's very easily recognizable, and the young generation who work mostly in European direction. So, and I feel myself very in the middle, and neither nor, you know, that I feel myself very different from this both generation. So
I think that probably was a difficult path to find something after art had been impacted by politics, by the government before, right? And so you're probably from a generation then that had to develop their own voice in between that, whereas young artists today, they look around in the world what's happening and probably can see, okay, this is something I want to do. So it's probably more international from the approach.
Exactly. So, and you know, the first what I wanted to do, you know, in the beginning of my artistic career when I finished the Academy of Art, so you know that I needed a few years to understand what I want to do. So, and then when I realized that I do not want to be very Georgian artist, you know, I'm in a good way, I want to explain. So the old generation, they did the very Georgian paintings, and they were very recognizable and appreciated from another republics of Soviet Union. So you could look at the painting and understand that this is the Georgian artist mm-hmm. painting. So that, and it was very cute. Maybe in the beginning, I was painting in that style. But then I realized that the art world is very big, and I want to be very universal artist. I do not want to be very Georgian. Of course, I have Georgian roots. Of course, I'm Georgian. I have Georgian blood. There is some stories which are behind of me. They are very Georgian, but I do not want to be very Georgian artist. I want to be an artist of the world. So this is very important. This is my main approach, really, artistic approach.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, if you're just being defined by the country you're coming from, it's probably not good. Yeah. But I think this, when you say Georgians are very artistic people and creative people, and there's a lot of, I think in your work, there are a lot of stories that you're telling in a visual way. So are they rooted in your own history or in the history of your country? Where do you think that comes from?
Mostly, I can say that because I really researching the history of art. I love the history of art. I love ancient history. I love the Mesopotamian art. So, and the Renaissance, of course. So, and actually, the big influences are there. And literature is my, almost everything is based on the literature, which what I'm doing. And of course, the cinematograph, the great movies and great filmmakers, they really inspiring me. And I'm quite reflective painter, so everything what is happening around of me, even maybe one word and one sentence can give a birth to a new series of paintings. So this is more, I can say, this is more philosophical way of doing art than the exactly historical way.
So what are the subjects of your works?
Actually, the main right now, there is, of course, the human beings, you know, that I am figurative painter. Mm-hmm. I can't see myself in abstract work yet, but have no idea what will be in the 10 years and 20, etc. So, and the main figure actually is a woman right now, but it's not forever, maybe because I am woman, maybe because of that, you know, we are always, the world is always around the artist. So, and maybe because I think I just, I was 1 year old when my father was killed. My mother, she became a both parents for us. We are three kids. So, and you know, and when I was growing up, I saw just one parent, and who was a father and mother for me. I think this is the main the woman who became a man and woman, yeah. And she had she also got this universal body.
She had to do it all, you know.
That's it. I think this is the main reason why everything is about the woman. But in 2017, I started to work on the big series, which was I was painting for about 3 or 4 years since that. It was about the transhumanistic ideas, the you know, the Herbert Wells, the novel, the island of Dr. Moreau's island, yeah. You know, that when the human beings and he did the hybrids of humans and animals. So I was working on this series. It was very huge series. So, and I called it Conversion Device. And I showed this a very big show in Mart Rotko Foundation in his native city, Daugavpils in Latvia.
Okay.
It was very interesting for me. Actually, that transhumanism is very interesting for me, but I just did realize this later because even the legend about the Gilgamesh, it was the first transhumanistic novel poetry maybe in the human history. So, and I like it. I like this way about thinking that the humans, they need to, you know, the what they are looking for. They are looking for the immortality.
Yeah.
And they are trying to find different ways of that. So, and especially in art is also very interesting because you know that the art is quite immortal. So this is for the eternal subjects, really. So this is about, and even I started to think that in the future, maybe I do not want to sign my name also on the paintings because the art must be like just the art. So that's it.
But are you thinking about what happens with your art when you're not no longer on this planet? I mean, is that something that crosses your mind when you work?
I want that they will live forever.
Okay.
I'm giving the birth to them, so it's very interesting. I hope so. I want to think like that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not true, but I like this idea.
I mean, yeah, it's a great idea. It's a great thought. You know, I think sometimes it's also nice to contradict this as an artist by creating work that will not make it that long, you know? So, I mean, you can, exactly. I mean, you're working with oil paints and acrylics, and I think they're both basically capable from the materials to survive a very, very, very long time, especially if you're then an artist that is representative for anything, then they might be kept in good conditions. But if you work with materials that deteriorate from in a certain time, it can also be a nice approach. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure. I think it's this. The times we live in are very much about the times we live in. People think about the next 30, 40 years. That's why we have huge political problems. That's why we have climate problems, because people don't really think about, you know, sort of eternity or what happens with generations after us, you know. So, and if you're as an artist, I think that's a very interesting approach to think about immortality as an artist. I mean, not as you as a person, but with the art. It's good. It's challenging.
Yes, exactly. Oh, who knows? Maybe I will change my mind, but nowadays I think like that. And I want to think like that.
I think it's good.
Well, we have a lot of examples, especially from the cave paintings. So they're still survived and they got the immortality, really. But the art, just not the names. Not names. They are not very important, really, for the future.
Yeah. Well, you have a, you, it looks like you have a pretty big output and works. You're creating a lot of works and I've been to your website and scrolled through all the works that are there. And it's, I mean, you have a very special bond and relationship to color.
Yes, exactly.
It's as much as, you know, that's where it comes to, I'm pretty sure you could make really good abstract work at some point or now.
Yeah, who knows?
But it's the, I think for me personally, I don't know how you see this, but for me, the paint, the colors are equally important as the figurative aspects that you're making as landscapes.
Exactly.
But exactly. Is that on purpose? Are you working with colors because they don't tell a story? They usually just, yeah, well, they're colors.
You know that when I'm doing the painting, when I'm starting, I really I know very well the shape of figures, and I know what is I have to say about something. Mm-hmm. But when I started to work with colors, it's very intuitively. And it's sometimes it happening itself, you know, and the color palette is always changing. And I never make anything. I just let it come itself. And it's very interesting, really. And exactly for 3-4 years before, the color palette was very bright and quite aggressive because the my statement that time was quite aggressive because I was against the ecological problems, and everything became very artificial. And you know that I changed the materials. I started to paint with acrylic, and acrylic is quite artificial material. And I used this very bright and very disturbing colors, like some kind of manifest, and it was exactly against these ecological problems what we have around. Even this, the hybrids of the people of humans and the animals, it was about that also. So this is just about surviving in this very polluted environment. So that it was about that. And last year, when this pandemic just started, I went back to the oil colors because I got a lot of time, because before I was traveling a lot. So, and the second year I didn't travel, and you know, the oil colors, it takes a lot of time to paint, to dry, and yeah, sure. It's different. Even I like to work in a la prima technique, because mm-hmm. the still when the paint are still wet before they will dry. So, and anyways, it takes a lot of time, especially for drying and sending them to ship them to the galleries for the show. So this year I had a lot of shows, last year also. So, and it was very interesting because I went back to the beginning of my artistic career. It seems like that by materials. And now I was, now I'm different human being. Than 15 years ago, I learned a lot, and I know what I want to do. There is no time for experiments. It's just I have to make something, and this oil paints, it gives more sacrality to the paintings, and this is a very different, absolutely different language of painting. And so that's it, what I'm doing right now. This is like I'm doing some temple for the art. And so it's very interesting. Sometimes I feel myself like a priest, maybe. It's very interesting. So, you know, I was one of my favorite painters, the artist, is the Hilma af Klint. So, and you know that what she's doing, she was doing, it was like the painting for the temple. So, and I like it because the art is like a very sacral things, because it's, it, we are telling about something which is hidden behind of us and very deep. Mm. So it's very interesting.
I think it's a nice image. It's a nice way to explain it. It's also good to see that there is a deep message in what you're doing. And I think when you're a painter and you think about probably what your painting can express to people, it's not the same for everyone. You know, recognition and exactly. How people take it up is different. So I think I like the idea of the temple and the priest, but in a very liberal way. You know, I
don't exactly, you know, exactly.
Not like the Catholic Church.
Exactly. No. But it's very interesting, really. And because all the nations, they have even the Egypt, the Mesopotamia, and et cetera, everything was for that, mm-hmm. was doing for that, just for gods or for something. The people, you know, that we need to believe in something, right? That, so, but why we do not believe in human beings? We just believe in something which we can't explain. Maybe it's very interesting, like a challenge exactly for us. So that's interesting. So it seems that we have a real reason to do some importancy.
You mentioned that you have had last year, you had many shows and there's many shows coming up. Why do you think there's this increasing interest in your work in the past years?
So it was very interesting. You know, the actually, I'm very against of online shows because I just can't imagine how the people can see something online and realize what's happening there. Right. Of course, it's very good. Maybe in some point, it's very good option on this situation which we have right now. But last year, I just want to say about the very big solo show, Rooms and Beings, which was in the 68 projects in Berlin. They said that people, even it was almost closed, one month they were open and the second month they were closed because of pandemic. And the people were coming and coming nonstop. By appointments to see, and one of them and many of them, they said that we want to see her works because she gives us hope of future, and it was, I think that it was the most important thing that I ever heard about my work. So this is, if I give someone hope, so this is fantastic. So that's
Let's talk about that exhibition actually, because that is, I suppose, probably one of your biggest exhibitions outside of, I don't know, probably one of your biggest exhibitions so far, was it? Or the one in Berlin?
Not the biggest. The biggest was in Mark Rothko Foundation in Latvia. Yeah. And the second biggest one, maybe we can say this is in Berlin. There were 14 of my paintings, which I painted exactly in this quarantine period. So it was exactly about the rooms and beings that we were closed in our houses, in the pretty houses. But we were closed there not at long. We've been there with our beings, the bestiary, which we have inside, you know. And sometimes that seems that we have no time actually to understand who we are. We have to do some works. We have to do always some jobs. We have some duties. We have to do something. We have to meet some people. And sometimes, even when we have some time to be alone with ourselves, we have to go to bed. So that we do not have time to discover ourselves. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we can find someone inside of us who can scare us or not, but actually it was about the memory which we have in a genetic way. So we came here from archaic time and we are not alone in this world. We are coming with something, even with some fears which has our parents or their parents, etc. So, and it was exactly about that. And it was about how comfortable we feel with ourselves alone. So for me, it's okay because mostly I'm alone in my studio. So the whole day I'm working and I'm thinking, but not for everyone, you know. And it was very interesting for the people who can recognize themselves in these images, and they found themselves. And it's very interesting. Maybe they can accept themselves where they are in reality, or maybe they can't.
But that show was planned before the pandemic?
No, it was exactly planned in the pandemic.
But were you invited before? I mean, or did they just invite you when, you know?
No, I worked with the gallery. Okay. We had the group show in the spring. And the next in autumn, I have the solo show. Mm. But it was planned. But it was planned that time when there was not pandemic.
Okay. Yeah. So and then you just basically that's definitely one thing about artists. Most artists work alone and they're in some kind of isolation anyway. But if you still have the chance to go out, it's good. And also, I think you work towards a goal that is an exhibition, at least most of the times, most of the artists do. And when you take that away, which basically happened in your case, I mean, you had an exhibition, but you couldn't be there and you couldn't receive the feedback firsthand. You couldn't even see how your works function like in the space. Yeah. So, I think that's pretty tough. So how did the gallery handle it? Did they do online shows? Did they do an online vernissage, or how were you involved in the exhibition once it opened?
We had this online call. I just look at my paintings from the phone. And the curator she asked them to hang them in the right place. So it was Yes, I had the shows, but I've not been there.
But the curator is also not from Berlin, so she wasn't there.
She's from New York, exactly. Okay. Exactly. So we had that call then in different times.
Yeah, we're learning some kind of weird, you know, sort of communication skills in this time. You know, I understand. Yeah,
I want to say that I hate this. I do not want to talk about difficulties in this kind of isolation way, you know that. And the people there, you know, maybe it's very, very difficult, different for many of, as I said, for the people. But for me, it was quite comfortable. Of course, around I couldn't use the public transport. Even I got the COVID-19, and I had a lot of different difficulties maybe, but mostly I live like that in isolation. Maybe I can say that. Just maybe I can't go to the cafe or restaurant, so that time. So, and I do not want to concentrate exactly on this isolation. So that's it. Isolation work, isolation pandemic, of course. And I tried to make another world that time, so without stress.
Yeah, I think everybody experiences it in its own way.
Exactly.
But you're all good. I mean, you said you had the virus, but it's all good. Did you suffer or?
Yes, I had in a very light way. So okay. I lived in my studio, and it was maybe I have the studio 5-6 years. So it was maybe the first time I remember that I do not paint during 2 weeks. Okay. Living here.
Yeah.
I couldn't paint.
Yeah, I think getting back to the online viewing experiences that people are having right now, I find it good that we're kind of, you know, sort of trying to find some solutions to do this. I think it's the longer it basically goes. I just here in Germany, galleries are still closed and for some time they will be. But that's a different topic, and I don't want to get started on that because that makes me a little bit angry.
I think
Yeah, it's sad. I know. I think it's about it's we have, it's not just, I mean, lots of people maybe from the outside, they see that as an artist, it's a profession and you make money with selling your work. But we have not spoken about money yet. And we've been talking for almost 40 minutes now. And exactly. And I think it's not something that you can define with a market value. It is defined by market value, but that's not the reason why you're in art. It's not the reason why I'm making work. So we're making work as something that might inspire people, or that people can interact with their minds, you know? And exactly. So there's a very big thing that artists in general, how they contribute to society and to a cultural, you know, sort of education. And it's a very communicative way, you know. I think art is about communication, even though if you're not at an opening having a beer or wine in your hand, talk to some people, it's a discussion with the works. And for me personally, you know, sort of the sad thing is I probably would have liked to go to Berlin and see your exhibition.
Yeah.
Going to Berlin, which is a 2-hour train ride, is something that I don't even want to get my head around right now, you know.
Exactly.
And so that is probably the aspect of that, you know. So 68 projects, how are they connected with Kornfeld? Is that one gallery together? Because you're showing with Kornfeld, you had this Chicago expo now.
Exactly. This is the same, the owner, the same, okay. The Alfred Kornfeld. He owns mm-hmm. also the 68 project. And another co-founder is Georgian, Mamu Gabliadze. Okay. So, and then... So it's a very long time they have these galleries. The 68 project is for emerging artists, and the Kornfeld Gallery is for established artists. So I'm just on the way to be established. So. But yeah. Yes, but we work for a long time. In 2018, the Kornfeld Gallery, they work also with Georgian. Fantastic sculpture, the woman Tamara Kwesitadze. They worked with her for a long time, and then they just published the book about us, Tamara Kwesitadze, me, and another Georgian female photographer, Natalia Grigalashvili, who is also awesome and beautiful photographer. So, and this book was written by Ninam Divani, the curator, my curator who lives in New York, and it was exactly about the four female from Georgia, so that it was very interesting experience. And then we had the show. They did the show in the Iserlohn Museum, the Vessel Museum in Iserlohn. And later we started to continue to work. And they had in my and the group show, and then they are showing me in Art Shanghai very successfully last year, and now in the Chicago and another art fairs also in Copenhagen, which is coming soon, and Untitled, etc., etc. So I started to work for the next solo. Already for 68 project for the next year. So I already is on site and working for that and for the art fairs. And I also started to work with Anna Ruma Gallery in Naples, where is the right now is finishing the duo show of mine and Irish painter Brian Harte, which is still there. And you know, it was very it was sad because they couldn't make an opening because they were in the red zone.
Yeah.
So they are right now in orange zone. So it's so sad.
Yeah.
But this is the new life.
Yeah, and I hope it's not going to be the new life. I hope it's going to be, you know, sort of something that changes soon.
Yeah,
you know?
And we should accept these changes and use them for us.
Yeah, if you're able to do that, I think that's it's great. But I think that not everybody, you know, sort of especially now. I mean, if you just imagine, I mean, okay, you're a mid-career artist, I think is what it is, in between established and emerging. I don't know, but you're an artist that's already on the map, and you have your galleries, and you have people that are interested in your work and that work with you, have curators, you know, and there's some attention. But I think at this time, I think it's very hard when you're a young artist right now and you to try to get some recognition, and all you do is send work maybe to some galleries that have some group shows, but you're not there. So the bond to the people who make the exhibitions and bonding to the people that actually go to the exhibition, it's very, very difficult. And it's mostly then through, you know, sort of, you mentioned it earlier, the tiny screen that people look at your work, like, you know, on Instagram and for example, which is probably the main, you know, so I don't know, main window into exhibitions for most people.
Exactly. It's quite tough for them, right?
And I think if you're just, you know, sort of trying to get out there, then it's very difficult right now, you know. But I mean, yeah, nothing we can do about it. mentioning Instagram, that's one thing that I actually usually talk, I think, with most people I do this podcast with, the importance of that medium for you. I mean, it was already there before the pandemic, but it's probably grown now as well. Is that something that you're actively using? I mean, we contacted through Instagram, for example, for this podcast.
Exactly. Yes, I use it quite actively. Before also, I used to, you know, that that almost all contacts which I have are from the social media, and now it's very in the beginning, and it was very important exactly for me. But right now, I already have the galleries. I do not post a lot of works of mine because I do not want the people to see them before the shows. But before, I needed that. Mm-hmm. So, and this is very good way for the young generation, exactly. They have no another way of showing themselves just in this look in the phone. That this, as you said, the tiny screen. So this is. This is a challenge
for them. I just don't know whether you heard it. There's doorbell ringing, but I just have to ignore it now. Sorry, I didn't turn it off before. I think that it's I believe that it's good for contacting and stuff, but it can also be pretty overwhelming, you know, if you're trying to achieve recognition through that. You know, I think we're using it as a tool for communication maybe, and I still find it kind of odd to communicate on so many different levels. I'm probably a bit more old school there, so that's why I like still like email a lot, and I like newsletters and mailing lists a lot.
Exactly.
I think that's. But you also have. But you also have a. We also have a strong, a good website, you know, and I think that's to get a bit more in depth what you're doing. I think that's still a good way. Something you should still keep up.
I just doing my own website. It's all already published, because which one you saw before, it's very bright. It was run by my French gallery I worked with, but I want to have my own one. But I do not want to publish everything, just for a few and maybe important things. The most important thing is the press mm-hmm. about me, what we can find there. Last year I had a lot of press, a lot of articles about my art. So this is the most important thing. But the art must be seen in real. I believe in it. I still believe in it. Even everything will change right now, you know, with this NFT.
Yeah.
Maybe we won't have any museums, but I think we are the last generation who will remember the real art, not in a digital way, you know.
Sure hope not.
Oh, you know, when the pandemic started, I was so missing the museums, as you said, the museums. And I got a lot of apps of different museums all around the world. And since I I was looking at the art, I was missing them, and then I hate them. Mm-hmm. And I deleted all of application from my phone. I do not want to see that. I want to see them in real.
Well, I personally, in that respect, I'm optimistic that people will always want mm-hmm. to see original artwork. Just the there are, of course, there's always a development. You mentioned NFT, and when I'm speaking with people, even from the art world, a lot of them still say, what? Mm-hmm. NFT what? But I also have a couple of friends who are artists who are already doing them. Mm-hmm. Personally, for me, this is nothing that I can see, but it's something you kind of have to look at. It's going to get a lot of recognition right now, but that's also driven mostly by the aspect that there is some really wealthy idiot who purchases a tiny little digital cat for 69 million.
Exactly.
You know, so, and that's what people get. Oh, look, it's a new thing in the art. It only becomes a new thing in the art when people think about what's actually shown there and what's the meaning of that cat, what's behind it. I don't want to diminish the artist. It's fine. I'm happy for every artist who gets rich with this, because it's only a tiny fraction of artists who actually makes money with their art. So I'm happy for people making money with art. But people always oversee what it's actually about. And that's the, I think, the biggest threat through just having online viewing rooms. You sit in your studio, you paint work, you say you work from 8 to 9 every day, you work through it, you pour everything into that work, and then it's on a wall, and then people think they have seen it by looking mm-hmm. on their iPhone or their smartphone. And that's not true. And I'm personally pretty optimistic that people will still want to see the things in the original, but it might get fewer people, you know? It might be that the big, that it's not, you know, sort of, I mean, you can actually now follow a gallery from Hamburg that is in Tiflis or in New York or whatever. You can be friends with people mm-hmm. somewhere abroad by never actually meeting them. But just this morning, I had this scene that, this is actually what gives me, you know, sort of makes me so hopeful. We're still humans. And this morning I went to the bakery, and there's like now the pandemic line, you know, like people take difference. Some people are really fearful, so they're like 10 meters away. Then other mm-hmm. people are just in your distance, which is fine because we're standing outside. There's only 2 people allowed inside the bakery. And this woman comes out with her mask on, and the other woman stands in front of me, and they're just, oh my God, I haven't seen you in so long. And what are they doing? They're hugging. They're not kissing or anything, but they take each other in their arms, and they're not letting go.
And that is
a human aspect, and that will not die. You will not be able to kill it. Exactly. So that's what gives me hope. But also, on the other hand, I'm having an exhibition that's supposed to open on May 8th. Mm-hmm. We already know that we'll be in fierce lockdown here in Hamburg with nightly curfews until May the 2nd. Mm-hmm. And all the artists in that show, 3 artists and the gallery, we all agreed upon, if we cannot open the doors and let people in, and only if it's only 3 people an hour, then we open. Mm-hmm. But if we cannot let anybody in, we're not going to do it. Exactly. We're not going to do anything online. We're waiting until we can show this, because we want people, same thing as I said in this picture before, we want people come in here and hug the art in a way. You know,
exactly. And about art. This is about art. I believe in it. So that's not about that digitality. So that's why I was also laughing with my friend, with the Nina, curator of mine, about exactly this NFT. NFT is very good for the digital art, mm-hmm. which is already digital.
Yeah.
But not not painting it yet. But I have no idea. You know that we are living very interesting era of, you know, the era of the religion just finished, and the era of technology is just beginning, and we are living in the middle. So mm-hmm. it's very interesting times, exactly. So yep. And we have to remember this period with this time. It's very interesting because there's something is changing in the humans, but it's always in the beginning of the century. So we mm-hmm. are just living in the beginning of the new century. So it's the it's fantastic, you know. It's exactly about the optimistic way. It always depends, like they said. It's quite banal sentence, but the happiness is always about us. That's it. So mm-hmm. depends on us. If you are happy or you are not happy, that's just about it. So if you are artist, you are, or you are not artist. When the artist, they are painting, and they shouldn't think about selling the art. They have to think exact just about their message, about their painting, about their sacrality, or about what they want to say and to show to the people, not about the money they will earn with that. Mm-hmm. Of course, we need the money because we have to live, we have to survive. And the most thing I always said, I need money for the materials. This is mm-hmm. the most important. Then I think about my family. But the charge is yeah. the materials. And because I cannot stop this this wave which is coming, like an ocean. So that's, I have to work. So this is the most important for me. So I'm happy that I can do it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I think that should be the, it's a nice driver, you know, sort of, and a nice description of how you do that. It actually would be nice closing words, but there's one thing I still have to ask you before we leave. What's next for you? I mean, what's coming up for you in the next months, this year, the foreseeable future as an artist?
Right now, I'm working for this painting for the next year. I'm preparing mm-hmm. the next year shows, mm-hmm. some shows already, and I'm preparing the paintings for the which is coming the Enter Art Fair mm-hmm. in Copenhagen, which will be in August.
Yeah, August.
So that I work for that, and I have some commission work. So I'm working on this commission from different collectors.
Okay.
So that's it. This is this year I already have the few group shows mm-hmm. and one solo shows, and it for the 1 year it's too
that's
much.
It's a lot. Yeah. That's true. That's a lot. All right, Ruslan, I enjoyed talking to you. That was good.
Thank you. Me yeah, too.
Yeah, good. We figured that out with the time difference, right?
Yes, exactly. We could do it. 2 hours is nothing.
All right. Thanks for doing this. So it was great talking to you.
Have a nice day.
Helium Talk.